Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
Here we go. Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
We are here to talk about the historic start to the season for the New England Patriots. Largest margin of victory over the first 2 weeks for any team since like 1975. And that team probably played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Succaneers, for like 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
But it's such a joke. And the idea that they did it the first week against the Steelers, I mean, the Dolphins team is tanking in a way I've never seen in my life, for sure.
Yeah.
They're just, it's not even that they're trotting out bad players, they are actively trading away their only good players.
Yeah, it seems like no one wants to play for them. I mean, if you watched that game, they weren't even there. It's almost like they didn't show up. I mean, there was a play where a guy ducked out of the way of a pass.
Yeah, that was
they
so
were,
funny.
I mean, the amount of drop balls they were giving their quarterbacks, no help whatsoever. I mean, it was like a handful of drop passes that were easy catches and could have been, you know, definitely positive yard plays. And they were just like, nope. And on top of that, the Patriots defense is just frightening.
Frightening is a good word. Yeah. Josh Rosen came in the second half and was throwing some pretty nice balls.
He was. And they just weren't even giving effort.
Every receiver decided to spike each ball into the dirt. So the turf down there. But let's talk about the second biggest story from this game, but most people would say the biggest story is Antonio Brown's debut in a Patriots uniform.
Yeah.
Comes out. I like the way they handled it most of the time. Mm-hmm. So first of all, they give him number 17. I like that. A little fuck you. And then they sit him for the first play of the game. Get your ego in check, buddy.
Yep.
They do bring him in on the second play and throw him the ball, and it's a good play.
Yeah.
But then they take him right out again.
Yep.
I like that. I like that they're just like, we can do this without you. We don't need you. But he was in on three plays, I think, on the first drive, and they threw it to him every single play. So that sends a mixed message from where I'm sitting. But it was an impressive debut. I know on that first drive, the second reception he had was an out route, right? It was a speed out. It was a timing route from Brady.
Yeah.
We're watching the game. I'm like, dang, how do they already have that timing down? That was super impressive. But then later in the game, as he targets him more and more, it seemed like they were disconnected.
Yeah, and I mean, it was almost more on Brady, to be honest. AB was open on a few of those, and it was kind of just put in the wrong spot.
Right. Yeah, you're talking about a couple of those fade routes near the goal line.
I mean, the touchdown catch, they had great coverage on. It was just they had no chance. I mean, he is an ridiculous talent. So, besides all the personal things going on and the lawsuits and, you know, all these war articles you hear of what a terrible person he is and all kinds of shit coming out. I mean, that might be another discussion for another time. I mean, I don't agree with him as a person, but the guy can play football. I mean, we've rooted for a lot of people. We don't know what they're like. So, you know, what are you going to say about this guy? But he is a ridiculous talent. He's super quick and he's got the straight line speed. So he's like, you know, now you have this guy opposite Edelman. It's almost like you forgot about Edelman in the offense, and then when you needed a third down, you're like, oh, who should he go to? We'll just go to Edelman because you know that's a sure thing. We haven't gone to him in like 10 plays. So he's got his rest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. But you also have the option to go to AB.
Antonio Brown.
Who's always open even when he's covered.
Yep.
As evidenced by that touchdown catch.
Yeah, he was, I mean, and he's small too. He gets away with things. That push off he got away with. They didn't call that, and they went back, and they even said they looked at it briefly, but he's just, you know, he's got so fluid out there. His movement is just, it's almost like, reminds me of Randy Moss. He looks like he's just moving quicker and better than everyone out there, even though he's not. Or, like, he is to some degree, but he's just on a different athletic level than the people that are trying to cover him.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of Odell Beckham, too, when you watch him play. Like, at the combine, he tested at 4.4, something like that. Antonio Brown ran a 4.47. Mm-hmm. But you watch him on the field, and those guys are the fastest people on the field, bar none.
Yeah.
Like, when you see him out there, they're just on a different plane than everybody else. He's got a boatload of talent, and what's nice is he's got room to grow in the camaraderie that he's going to develop with Brady in this offense. And then yeah, like you said, the way that he is super savvy. I think that they had some anecdotes during the game about how Edelman is already learning about route running from Antonio Brown,
which is crazy
news to NFL people. You don't want Edelman to be any better at route running than he already is. So it's going to be a good addition. The other offensive talent on the outside, Josh Gordon, we were yelling during the game, get him involved. I want to see this guy exploit some one-on-one coverage. I think he was actually receiving more attention from the defense than we could really tell at home. But you and I were watching the post game, and we were both remarking about, I think the most impressive thing that Josh Gordon did on Sunday was his press conference.
Yeah, he's very well put together at the moment, or at least appears to be.
Oh, yeah. Super lucid, clear-minded, was giving thoughtful, truthful answers that were coming from a place of humility and team-first attitude. I was blown away.
Yeah, I couldn't. Captivated. I was kind of stunned with how well put together he looked and acted in the whole thing, especially from where he's coming from. I mean, you know, you have these two troubled guys from different parts of the spectrum. You got the Josh Gordon's this drug addict guy, and you think, he's a really bad guy, but he just seems like a really nice guy from what you see, and then he has this drug issue. So, okay. And Antonio Brown's more of that ridiculous personality, crazy guy, does crazy shit all the time. Loose cannon, which you would think was Josh Gordon, but that doesn't seem like Josh Gordon's personality, which is really interesting, because that's what I kind of thought before he came to the team, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when you hear about a guy that's been suspended X number of times, but he implodes where Antonio Brown explodes and affects the people around him.
And I wonder, he was reinstated so quickly without any additional games on this year, which kind of surprised everyone. And after seeing that, and even the week before too, it almost makes me wonder if when he did meet with Goodell, it was so obvious that he was so much better than he's been before that Goodell's like, all right, you're actually fine. You can go play. You know, I mean, I don't know if that's the case by any means, but I'm just saying, I wonder if that's why it got pushed through so quickly, or there was no resistance on coming back to the league because they saw this guy and they're like, oh, well, it seems like you might have turned a new leaf or something, because you, like, even compared to last year, like last year, he just looked overwhelmed with everything.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was because he was doing something, or he was smoking weed, or he was high on something else. But like, yeah, at the press conference, it was, wow, this guy seems like a presence here. Like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Josh said it himself that this time is different, and he compared to this time, he never really tried before. And from all indications that we see, seems like it's going great. So more power to him. Super happy for him. Next step, get an extension.
Yeah, right.
Let's and now re-sign
he
him.
Looks way more jacked. He looks huge.
He's always looked huge.
Yeah, I know, but he just looks bigger now. I don't know. It looks like he's really put on some muscle. It's crazy. I don't, you know.
Yeah. He's clearly in great shape. Let's move on to the briefly. I guess let's move on to the biggest story in my mind that came out of this game. Isaiah Wynn, starting left tackle, goes down in the first half. Does not return with a toe injury.
Turf toe.
It turns out to be turf toe, which I looked it up. It's a sprain. It's a sprain of the biggest joint on your big toe.
Which I don't understand why it's... I've heard it's really painful, but I don't understand why it would sideline somebody for multiple weeks where they decide, okay, you know what, it's better for short-term IR than anything else. Because that's 8 weeks.
Yeah, that's eight, but he can start practicing after 6.
Right, but it's still 8 weeks until game time.
Right, which is, I mean, we talked about their upcoming schedule last episode. It's a joke.
It is. It is a joke.
They're not going to play a good team, and I use good pretty loosely right here.
Until the Browns.
Until they play the Browns during week 8. And then it's the Ravens, and then a bye week. And then he's eligible to return week 11 at the Eagles.
Yeah.
Should be a great time to return. I wish we could have him against the Browns because Myles Garrett looks terrifying.
Yeah, I know. He is kicking ass.
But the good news is there's nothing on the back end of that Browns defense.
Mm-hmm.
All due respect to Denzel Ward. I haven't been that impressed with him recently. But they're just going to, in that Browns game, they're going to do max protect the whole time and put out Antonio Brown, Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, and say, how many people are you going to take to cover them? Probably 6.
Oh, yeah.
Send 5 and see when they get home.
Well, and the thing about the Edelman, I don't know as much about Gordon on in this scenario, but the Edelman and Antonio Brown now pairing, is they're such quick guys in short space that Brady, you know, Brady can always get the ball away, get rid of the ball so quickly because of Edelman's quickness out there. Edelman's immediately open. Boom. 2 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Now he's got AB. He could do the exact same thing on the other side. He's got two guys that are just super quick that once their timing's down, you can get rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds, which Brady's made a huge point to do.
Yeah, for sure. It's clearly a strength of his game, and that plays into it.
Well, that plays into the offensive line, too, because now, you know, okay, Myles Garrett, he can get there in 2 seconds, but we, you know, you heard Joey Bosa last year. Joey Bosa was getting to the quarterback in 3 seconds going, how the hell is Tom Brady get rid of the ball so damn fast?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's an all-world athlete saying that, and you're like, wow, I mean, that he's awing the fucking 28-year-old nutcases out there. Like, how the fuck do we get this guy? So Antonio Brown just adds another layer to that to be like, oh, now I have, instead of just the Edelman option, I have these two options, and the second option happens to be the best in the fucking league.
Right, and this makes the job a lot easier for Marshall Newhouse to come in and play left tackle. Ideally, Marcus Cannon would be back from his injury soon. Like we talked about, Jets, Bills, Redskins, Giants, Jets are the next 5 games. So if it takes them a little bit, I'm not exactly terrified of any of those teams. The Bills front seven might be the best.
Mm-hmm.
But the replacement of Isaiah Wynn is going to be so much based on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And what team of coaches would you prefer to have than Dante Scarnecchia as your position coach, Josh McDaniels as the coordinator, with Bill mm-hmm. Belichick overseeing the whole thing and making sure that from the top down, from the game plan to the exact plays that are called to the protections, all the way down to the drills you're doing in practice, everything is aligning to make this player successful at left tackle.
Right.
And and they're going to get essentially a whole preseason. When you're talking about playing Jets, Bills, Redskins, Giants, Jets, you're going to get a whole preseason worth of games.
The Giants are so bad, dude. The Jets are so bad. We'll get to the Jets coming up because we're playing them this week.
Exactly.
The Bills, I mean, I have no faith in Josh Allen. I feel like our defense will... The other thing about it is our defense is going to stifle every offense we're playing. I have no worries. I mean, yeah, sure. Miami's terrible. We haven't even talked about the game. We kicked the crap out of them, 43-0.
Yep.
We haven't even mentioned that. Our defense had 3 touchdowns. Or two. Two touchdowns and a walk-off pick. Four interceptions. 2 were brought back by touchdowns. A great pick by Stephon Gilmore. An easy one by Jamie Collins. And then Jamie Collins had another one in the end. Just showing, again, how valuable that fucking guy is out there. Oh,
God, how good is it to see Jamie out there?
I mean, him and Hightower out there at linebacker, just like, all right, they're going to make plays. Our defensive line is just really good. And our secondary is untouchable. They're just, I mean, no one can get separation from them. They just look great.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted so badly for the Patriots to have more interception return yards than the Dolphins had passing yards. It was pretty close. Dolphins had 142 passing yards. Patriots had 128 interception return yards.
If Jamie didn't run off the field at the end, they probably would have beat it.
If Jamie just went upfield for 15 yards. They would have had.
He literally ran to the locker room.
More Patriots yards when they were on offense than they did for their own yard.
He literally ran to the locker room.
Yeah, that was super funny.
Fucking awesome.
Gilmore played great. Van Noy got back out there, looked like himself. The defense is stellar. They have played.
It is a shit offense.
It is a shit offense, but the Steelers' offense is not complete shit. That team put up 26 points with a backup quarterback against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
That's a legit playoff defense.
Yeah. I mean, no one's even, regardless, like I said, regardless of how good or bad your defense, or how good or bad the offense is, they usually score. I mean, you don't see scores where people are getting 3 points, 0 points. You don't see that. This defense, there was different from last year. They haven't let up a touchdown in 3 games.
Yeah,
they've let up
true.
2 goddamn field goals, and that's it. And 2 of them were very good offenses. One was a Super Bowl offense. You got the Steelers who couldn't score, and that was their full offense. Now you got Miami who doesn't score at all. But, I mean, to give up a goose egg in the NFL, I don't care who is there. I mean, that's fucking difficult. And even Brian Flores, he was trying to get a field goal.
He was. He was really trying. And the but they kept the first defense out there.
Oh, they
a
did,
long
they,
time,
dude. They wanted that goose. I mean, that's like a badge of pride you fucking wear for the rest of the season. We shut them out. You couldn't even score on us. That's a statement to the league. Yeah. I don't care if it is Miami. I mean, this defense shut out. They gave up 3 points to the Steelers and shut out Miami. It's like, I can't remember a defense that did that this early in the year.
There's a good chance they get a shutout this weekend. They're going against...
There's a good chance they get, like, a shutout for the next 3 weeks.
Nah, I don't know. I don't know. That's a lot. Let's focus on this weekend. They got Jets coming to town for a home game in Foxborough. The Jets are coming in with their third-string quarterback after their first string is sick. Second string played a
he
quarter.
Got crushed. Maybe. You they see that injury?
They said he, like,
walked off. That was ugly.
Something. It looked like he snapped both bones in his leg.
Oh, it looked ugly, but then he walked off somehow. Lucky son of a gun, because that looked ugly.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. And so they got this kid that's never played in the NFL before, excluding the Monday night game. They only put up 3 points against the Browns. Browns unleashed Myles Garrett. He was unblockable in this game.
Yeah, he's a really good player.
So I'm not impressed with their offensive line, anything I saw there. I think we're going to get a ton of pressure. They do have decent weapons, emphasis on decent. Robbie Anderson is okay. He can make plays. Jameson Crowder had like 14 catches in the first game of the year. He is the poorest man's Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
Quincy Enunwa, I think, is hurt again, and he's not going to play. But offensively, I think they're going to be totally screwed. I think 3 points might be the maximum that they get, and our offense is going to put up 30. I think, do you see the line?
Not yet.
It's Patriots minus 22.5.
Jesus.
It's like, it's a historic line.
Yeah.
The other one, the Dolphins are plus 21.5 against the Cowboys.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the first time there's two, I think that's the first time there were two favorites over 20 points in 1 week.
In the same week?
Yeah, I mean,
the Pats are going to cover.
They're going to kick the crap out of them. I don't, you know. I know it's only week two. I know Antonio Brown, depending on what goes on legally in his personal life with all of his civil suits.
They said it's going to be a few weeks before they make a decision.
Yeah, so it seems, and then, you know, the civil case might be next year. So he might be playing the whole time if he can keep his fucking psychotic behavior to a minimum. So, you know, all that aside, it just seems like there aren't a lot of goddamn teams that can even touch the Patriots, never mind even compete.
Yeah.
I know it's only week two, but I feel like I've heard more teams talk, more people in, you know, the football world talk about tanking than I've ever heard in my life of week two. It's like, you realize that, Nick, you could, in 3 weeks, if you got your ass together, you can still make the playoffs. That's why the NFL is so great.
The NBA is, the NFL is becoming the NBA. Very quickly, before our eyes, I mean, how many people requested trades or demanded them? I mean, just this week, Jalen Ramsey did. Just this week, Taco Carlton wanted out of Dallas, and he got released. AB, obviously, had his own demands. Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon's doing his holdout thing. I believe he did demand a trade at some point.
Yep.
And then the NBA is famous for tanking. That's why they have the lottery system.
Right.
Because back in the 80s, people were tanking for Hakeem. They were tanking for whoever.
Right.
And so they instituted the lottery, and I think that was initially like 10 teams, and now it's up to 14. Like, they keep tweaking it
because
people keep failing and failing on purpose. And now it's becoming, I mean, there are more horrific teams in the NFL right now than I can remember recently. And I know, second week of the season, but is there any light at the end of the tunnel for Miami, the Jets, the Giants?
No.
These teams are awful. I mean, the Jets will get their starting quarterback back at some point, presumably.
Yeah, he's only got mono, which is hilarious. He's got mono. But yeah, that's not... He'll come back from that. That's easy.
But they're still... I mean, they're going to max out at 3 wins this season. The Giants, they just removed Eli Manning about 24 months too late, and went to the backup quarterback, the rookie Daniel Jones, first-round pick. There is a chance he is better than Eli. A chance. Still think that team maxes out at 3 wins. By the way, I would take the under on both of those win totals.
Yep.
And then the Dolphins aren't going to win a game this year. They're just not.
They might turn. You never know. They can always, on any given Sunday.
Dude, they're not going to win a single game. They're going to make sure of it.
Probably. Now, and then you also have, I know a point you want to talk about that also bleeds into this whole issue is the quarterbacks are dropping like flies.
I know, right? The older quarterbacks.
Pittsburgh Steelers lost Ben Roethlisberger. Now they're back to number two. They're going to suck.
They're probably going to suck. But then they just spent a first-round pick on Minka Fitzpatrick, and that's going to be a middle-of-the-first-round pick.
Because they're idiots.
Yeah, I don't get that one bit.
That was really stupid. The Saints lost Drew Brees. He got his hand crushed. He might come back, but he couldn't even grip a football.
He got surgery. It should fix the ligament, but they said 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
And, I mean, do you just walk back out there and you got everything together again? What if somebody hits you in the hand? What happens then?
Exactly. I mean, which could happen any time, but that's tough. I mean, that's a tough one. Which sucks, too, because, I mean, that just hurts the NFL product. I like seeing at least some competitive games. Those were two teams that were supposed to be competitive that now their season's potentially in jeopardy.
The Steelers' season is over.
Is over. The New Orleans, it's a coin flip. Can he come back in week six, and can they win a couple games until then?
Well, that's the thing. They are going to try to sneak into the playoffs. Like, the Steelers are not going to make the playoffs. The Saints potentially could keep their head above water, stay around 500 until Brees gets back.
Well, that's all
they
need to do.
And then they can make a late push, and then they got to get really hot in the playoffs.
But that's a big if. That's a lot of things that have to fall.
Yeah, exactly. What are their odds in Vegas? They went from like 8-1 to 25-1, something like
really?
That. Like they are a that. Long shot right now.
Another one is friggin' Cam Newton.
What's happening with him?
He's basically
not that old.
Falling apart.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that I almost wouldn't be surprised if he retired. He was the next Andrew Luck. Like, he retired much sooner than I expected. He's always hurt. He really hasn't been able to put together a good season. They can't get an offensive line in front of him that'll goddamn block for him. I mean,
he's got lingering shoulder issues, clearly.
You know, he's clearly, I mean, you see how he dresses after a game. I mean, that's clearly one foot out the door in my mind that you have to take that much time.
What?
Dude, if you lose two games in a row, you walk into the locker room and you dress up, you have to spend all that time. It's not like you just,
put
on
up
a
like
pair
Prince.
Of pants. Yeah, that takes some time. So it's like he clearly wants to do that. Show that off. And you're a teammate watching
why
this.
Why do you think
I'd
he wants
like,
to do that?
Because it's part of his brand. It's a avenue after football.
And retiring at age 30 is going to impact that brand, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like... I don't know anything about whatever world he's trying to get into, so I don't know how the hell that works.
He's gonna move to Milan, change his name to Caesar.
Or do it literally. I mean, he looks not like a nut, and I mean, I don't know. He's literally said after the game, I have to take a good look into the mirror. It's like, really? Dressed like fucking Michael Jackson's Thriller? Yeah, you should take a look at the mirror. I don't know. If I were a teammate and I saw that, I'd be like, I don't know. Am I supposed to take that seriously? Like what you're talking about or no? Because
he does say some boneheaded things.
You just spent an hour getting dressed to look like a nutcase.
You got John Lennon's glasses on.
Yeah, it's like, so.
See, I view it the exact opposite way, that he loves the attention and he would never walk away when he can still get that attention. But it's clear that his body is not where it needs to be, even though he said at the beginning of the season he felt as good as he has in years.
Yeah, and then you get one hit. He got one hit in the preseason and that was that.
Yeah.
Fucking done.
But that was an ankle thing. I'm more concerned with the arm. If he can't throw the ball effectively, that was one of the big things about him, is that he's got an absolute rocket. And I saw a couple throws in the first game of the season that looked really good, but haven't
done
too impressed
since
then.
Yeah.
And yeah, you got to wonder how long his shelf life is. And do you see what Michael Vick said? He goes,
no.
This season, he goes, they asked for hot takes. And he goes, all right, hot take. This is Cam Newton's last season in Carolina.
And that's very...
Can you see it?
Oh, 100%.
You could totally see it. But I don't think he would retire at that point. I think he would go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Back to Brees and Roethlisberger, both older quarterbacks. I don't know how much that plays into those injuries, particularly Brees one. When you see it all the time, quarterbacks follow through and they hit their hand on a helmet or, in his case, a hand. And sometimes it's funny and people break stuff. Brett Favre broke his thumb doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that one's as age-related or as you know, spells impending doom for his mm-hmm. career, where the Roethlisberger one, I mean, he's getting a ligament repaired, right? He had a ligament in his elbow that was torn.
Yeah, I think he got Tommy John, didn't he?
It sounds like Tommy John, but I don't think it was. But okay. It was close.
Okay.
And I might be wrong about that, but it's a year recovery, and I don't know what to think about that. That sounds more like a wear and tear, older injury.
When he was talking about retiring before the season, so wondering. People are saying he's going to come back and he wants to come back, but it's also like, does he though?
A lot of it, I think, depends on what Mason Rudolph does.
They have he goes no out option.
Plays well, they may ask him not to come back.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But yeah. So we had some good football games this weekend. Not a whole ton, but, you know.
Yeah, so. I was more excited for this weekend than it actually turned out to be good.
Yeah.
I felt pretty strongly the Steelers were going to win at home. They lost Big Ben, and they ended up losing by two. I still count that as a win for me.
Yeah.
I was also big on Cincinnati hosting the Niners. That was way off. Way off. Holy cow. Can we get Ryan Finley out there already?
Yep.
Indianapolis going into Tennessee after Tennessee comes off their week one demolishing of the Browns.
Yep.
Tennessee just has such – it doesn't even matter who the coach is. They always go up and down. They do something good, so they crash and burn. That was one of the big calls we made last year after they beat the Patriots. We're like, bet everything you have on whoever they're playing this next week.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because they always crash and burn right afterwards. So Indy goes in there, gets a win. Denver hosting the Bears. I thought I was right. How do you give up a field goal with like 20 seconds to go to Trubisky?
Trubisky is so bad, too. He went 16 for 27 for 120 yards.
Wow. And that includes, like, 45 yards on that last drive.
Yeah. So he was, like, 16 for probably, like, 24 for, like, 80 yards through mostly.
Wow.
Flacco went 35 for 50 for 292.
Yeah, it's better. Flacco also threw an interception inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't look great. Oakland went up big against Kansas City 10-0, and then Kansas City came back and got, like, three or four touchdowns in a matter of minutes.
To people that we didn't know. It was like Tyreek Hill's on the sideline. Sammy Watkins is nowhere to be found on the field, but not making plays. And then this guy Robinson and somebody else, you're like, who are these dudes that are catching 60-yard bombs?
Pat Mahomes. They want to play for him.
They're too deep. That guy's too good.
Then the other one, Philly lost to Atlanta. That was a surprise to me.
I did not have a strong feeling on that one, but I was rooting for Atlanta.
But yeah, Philly's seems like whatever magic they had for at that time is kind of fading. Carson Wentz is not turning out to be what I think a lot of people expected him.
He's not healthy. He's never healthy. He takes too many hits. He holds on to the ball too long. I mean, he made this spectacular play where he gets like essentially tackled from behind. He's falling to his knees and still manages to make like a 25-yard throw with some zip on it with his knee like a fraction of an inch above the turf.
Wow.
He makes spectacular plays like that, but he takes hits all the time.
Yeah, he does get crushed out there, dude.
He's so good on third down. He's like a one-man third down. But the Falcons were really lucky. Matt Ryan tried to throw that game away several times.
Yeah, he is not looking good at the moment.
And then, thank goodness, they took the ball out of his hands effectively on that fourth down and made him throw a screen pass to Julio Jones.
Don't make
another decision, Matty. Just throw to Julio.
Right.
And then the other one I felt strongly about was the Rams hosting the Saints. I can't take that much credit for it, as the Drew Brees injury radically changed that game. Teddy Bridgewater looked like a deer in headlights for most of that game.
Oh, yeah. He was not looking great.
You figured it out. You're like, dude, throw it to Michael Thomas.
Literally, just throw it to Michael Thomas. That's what I don't understand. Like, when these backup quarterbacks come in, you know, I understand don't force it to people, but if you have one of those receivers that's that good, it's like, just get him the ball. They'll do it. DeAndre Hopkins, just throw him the ball. He's going to get it. Michael Thomas, Tariq, like, that's what they do. The good quarterbacks get that, you know.
But he's not open. Just give him a shot. He'll
get it. Just make sure you don't throw it right to the defender and you're all set. He wants the ball.
Okay. So there were a couple games I wanted to look at this weekend.
Yep. And I actually like the tomorrow night's game. We're recording this on a Wednesday. Tennessee at Jacksonville. It's not bad.
This has always been a Thursday night game every single year.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how every team's got to play on Thursday night? They always pick these two shit teams.
Yeah.
and make them play each other. And thank God they're not going to wear the Jacksonville with those like disgusting yellow, green. I don't know what color those jerseys were, but they won't let them wear those anymore.
Got a good really week here. Opinion
about this.
Oh,
but the Doug Marrone's got to be fired, right? I know Tom Coughlin was a former coach and is going to want to hang on to coaches longer than most executives.
Yeah, but he's got to be gone soon. They got too much talent for being this bad.
I mean, he got into a spat with Jalen Ramsey, and now their best player wants out of town.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Guy stinks. He's got this backup quarterback who's in there, leads them to a game-tying, essentially a game-tying tying drive.
And goes
at the end
two.
Of the game last week, they go for two, which I think is the right move. But the quarterback led them all the way down the field, and he turns around and runs a dive up the middle with Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
Against, stupid. Like, goal-line defense. Dude.
Stupid.
Give it back to the quarterback.
Right, Minshew.
So I got to go 10-2 on this one.
Yep.
The other interesting games I was looking at. Atlanta at Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I know. I wonder what's going to happen. Atlanta doesn't normally travel well, but this is in a dome, unfamiliar opponent for both sides. That's a coin flip for me. I'm just wondering if you had any thoughts.
Kind of the same way. I mean, I feel like Indianapolis could take it, but... You know, Atlanta's got some talent. I mean, week three is a tough time to pick these games. Until week five comes, it's like a complete mishmash. But I'm just looking at this. If it's too bad that Breeze and Roethlisberger both got hurt, because there would have been some amazing games this week. I mean, you do have Baltimore at Kansas City. It's probably the best game of the year at this point, because you got just two hot offenses.
I would have said Saints-Rams last week until you had an injury.
Yeah, probably. But that game is going to be great. I really want to see what Denver... I hope I get to see it, and I want to see what Baltimore's defense looks like. I'm really curious to see what they look like. I don't know much about them at this point in time.
Since they lost C.J. Mosley and Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, all those guys, all the names are gone, so we'll see what they still got. Denver at Green Bay, I feel like, is just kind of an interesting game. I do want to see that.
Really?
Yeah, I like that game.
Yeah, that's funny. I do feel strongly about a couple of these games. I think Philly is going to handle the Lions coming into town.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be fine. The Vikings also at home hosting the Raiders. I think they're going to take care of business.
I don't know, man. I like the Raiders.
Okay.
I think there the Raiders go. Got something. But my Minnesota is usually really good at home.
They are typically quite good at home. And they're coming off a loss, and they know how important it is to stay ahead of the standings.
Weren't they bad at home last year, though?
I don't know. Oh. I don't think so.
Okay.
They weren't. They just weren't that good overall last year.
Yep. Yeah, you got Houston.
7-8-1.
You got the Texans at the Chargers. That's a big. I think that's a good game.
That's a good game. That's the other one I'm really looking forward to. I mean, the Rams at the Browns on Sunday night will be fun.
I want to see.
Third best team in the NFL, probably the second best team actually.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to beat the Browns, because I didn't really like what I saw from the Browns on Monday, despite them walloping the Jets.
Yeah, it wasn't as much of a wallop as that should have been handed out.
It should have been way better. Baker's he's a little bit of a loose cannon.
He really is.
Gunslinger, but he throws it up there.
Yeah, he'll throw it out there. New Orleans at Seattle would have been a fucking awesome game to watch.
That would have been so good.
Same with Pittsburgh at San Fran. This would have been the best 4 o'clock lineup I think I've ever seen. With those three big games, now they're all just like, because the quarterbacks aren't there. But Houston, LA, that's a big one.
Houston at the Chargers will be good. I got to lean towards the Chargers. I know they're 0-2.
I don't know, man. I like what Houston's been doing.
0-1-1.
Houston's been pretty... Houston's got some talent. I think I like what they're doing with what they've got.
There you go.
So we'll see. And the Monday night game is Chicago at Washington, just a battle of nobodies with no quarterbacks.
Another team that's embarrassingly bad, the Redskins.
Yeah, they're bad.
All these teams are in the East. Giants, Jets, Redskins, Dolphins. They're all in the East conferences. What's happening in this time zone?
I don't know. What's your prediction for the Jets game?
All right, so I think the Jets are going to score 3 points. I think back-to-back shutouts is a tall order. The 85 Bears may have done that in the playoffs, now that I think about it. What a ridiculous team. But I think the Jets get 3 points, and I think the Pats are solid for 34.
I'm going to go big. 38-0. They're going for the fucking shutout again. I don't think this offense can do anything.
I don't even want to calculate the point differential that would be over the first 3 weeks of the season.
Right? It'd be like almost, 150-3.
It's going to be preposterous, however it turns out. But it's got to say, it's good to be a Patriots fan, and it remains sucky to be a Jets fan.
Well, they'll always be terrible.
So I'll hail the hoodie. Thank you all for listening. Enjoy this week 3 stress-free event that'll be happening. And come on back and listen to us next week. Go over this game and look ahead to the Bills game in week 4.
You got it.
All right, talk to you.
Adios.